Welcome to the jungle. We start our second hour. Nice to have you here. And by here, I mean live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So setting up your second hour, coming up next segment, I've got a linebacker with the Arizona Cardinals who look great in their opener. They punched Tennessee in the face. Isaiah Simmons joins me. That's coming up in 20 minutes. Then at the top of hour number three, Brandon McManus will be joining me. Got episode 189 of the Jim Rome podcast, which is currently live. Don't listen to it yet. Wait until after the program, but it's a good listen. I'll give you a preview. Former NFLer Chad Pennington joins me for it. And we talked about some of the young quarterbacks and development of young quarterbacks. Hey, again, I'm still looking for a phone call here. Like, I'm getting phone calls, just not ones that are going to make a difference. Just not ones that are going to make the show better. If you can make it better, I'll put you right to the front of the line. 1-800-636-8686. You know that. That's understood. I say that every single day on this show. If you can make it better, there are perks and bennies. This is not democratic like that. You can skip the front of the line if you can make it better. We already had a conversation with Wisconsin head football coach Paul Christ. So lots to get to still yet. I want to talk for a minute about the Cowboys. Also, I am going to make a return to New York to appear on the NFL and CBS on Sunday. One of my favorite things ever in my career. So that is going to be the first time I've been to New York for that show since, I want to say, the end of 2019. Did not go at all last year. So the end of 2019, the end of that season. And one of the things I'll be talking about are the Cowboys. And Dak Prescott, in particular. In the meantime, Cowboy fan, I'm not saying that you should hit the panic button after one loss. And I'm not even saying that you're about moral victories. Because as losses go, that's not the worst one ever. But why don't we talk for a minute about what's transpired since that loss? I'm not saying you should hit the panic button. What I am saying is you better know exactly where the hell that panic button is. I'm not saying that Mike McCarthy going for some incredibly fresh Austin Powers resets in camp was not a good sign. I'm not saying that. Sorry, actually, that's not fair. Not even Austin Powers resets, but resets from one of the Austin Powers sequels. I'm just saying, if you were looking for omens before the season, that probably was a pretty bad one. But you had to know that Mike McCarthy was not exactly an elite motivator, right? You know that whole rap that, well, yeah, Aaron Rodgers only won one ring. Aaron Rodgers should have more than one ring. You know that rap? That's like one of the worst raps ever. The fact that this guy even won a ring with McCarthy as his head coach makes him one of the greatest to ever do it. I mean, that rap against Aaron is so bad. Back ass words. It's so wrong. I mean, has McCarthy ever inspired anybody to do anything other than somehow miraculously convincing Jerry Jones to give him a job? Let's just say my man's not exactly David Goggins when it comes to inspiring and firing people up, if you feel me. But the reason why Cowboy fans should be worried isn't even about McCarthy. I mean, a reason why you should be worried is, but the latest reason for concern is the number of injuries that this team has. It's bad. You know it's a bad sign when your defensive line coach, Leon Lett, is carted off the field during practice after suffering a lower leg injury that reportedly will require surgery. Can I repeat that? Your D-line coach went down in practice and requires surgery. And this isn't like some old geriatric, like, I don't know, Ritt, for instance. Sorry, Ritt, just playing. This is a former NFLer. It's not like that guy can't get out of the way. You've got D-line coaches going down, getting carted off, and requiring surgery. Even worse when he's joined in the metaphorical training room by no less a player than DeMarcus Lawrence. Because Lawrence broke his foot in practice yesterday. He'll be out 6 to 8 weeks. That sucks. Like, I don't care how much you hate the Cowboys. I don't care how much you love the Cowboys. I don't care if you have no feeling about the Cowboys. You never want to see a guy go down like that. You never want to see a guy suffer an injury like that in practice. And if you are a Cowboy fan, that is crushing. Because you already know that defense is suspect. You already know you're losing the guy who had six tackles and two quarterback pressures and a forced fumble in week one. They didn't have a single sack last week. And yeah, I know old man Brady gets it out pretty quickly. But they didn't have a single sack, and that was with Lawrence in the lineup. So if that defense is that rough with him, what are they going to be without him? And he's not the only one. It's not like Lawrence is going to be the only guy they're missing when they have to deal with the Chargers, because Randy Gregory is still on the COVID list. McCarthy had this to say about that, quote, "If you look at the history, it's been 10 days, pretty much everybody we've dealt with in the COVID protocol. We'll just see how it goes," end quote. So that does not sound like he's expecting Gregory to play, which means the Cowboys defense is going to be without its two best pass rushers, and they're going to have to deal with the likes of Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, who I thought looked great, and Jared Cook, and Austin Eckler. I could keep going. So, if I were defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, I might start dousing my eyes with Tabasco like his predecessor, because he's not going to want to see what he's going to have to see.
I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh. It's terrible. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Hang on, guys. We'll be right back.
Give me 1 second.
Take a fire hose to that guy's eye. Like, you're going to trust a guy to coordinate an NFL defense if he can't coordinate Tabasco to his mouth without getting it in his eye? The hell is he eating Tabasco for anyway? Anyway, it's not just the defense that's hurting right now. Michael Gallup on the injured reserve, calf injury. Tackle, Lyle Collins, suspended for 5 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. That means Dallas is down 4 starters going into this game on the road when they're already 0-1 and they don't want to start 0-2. Because as we all know, 0-2 can get really ugly really fast. Dak was amazing. Dak was incredible last week. But Dak can't do it by himself. He can't be out there missing 4 key guys trying to beat a good Chargers team all by himself. So, what do you need in that situation? You know what would be great? It would be a perfect time for a head coach to scheme the hell something up. Grab a marker, head to the whiteboard, find a way to win that game with the parts that you do have. Just MacGyver the bleep out of this game. Make it work. And you know what? I can think of a few head coaches that could. I know a few head coaches that absolutely could make do with what they have and win a game like that. Unfortunately, Mike McCarthy is not one of them. Instead of having the master of scheme who gives you the confidence that you've got a shot in a game like that, you've got Mike McCarthy who's still out up in here resetting an Austin Powers movie that came out last century.
Groovy, baby, yeah. Groovy. Groovy motivational speech, coach.
But you got to go with what got you there, right? Not what got you there. But you've got to go with what you got. You've got to go with what the kooky old owner hired. So now you've got the big fella walking around the facility saying things like, "Shall we shag now or shall we shag later?" Pretty fresh. I'm sure today's athlete is going to want to run through a wall after hearing that. I don't know what he's going to tell his players. I just know that whatever it is, it's not going to help. I just know whatever it is he tells them, it's not going to help. I don't know what that is. I don't know what he's going to tell his assistants, but it will probably be something like this.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Probably, right? Almost assuredly. Have fun with that, Cowboy fan. Too bad, man, because they showed up big in week 1. 1-800-636-8686. They're busted up. God. Lawrence going down with a busted foot in practice. What a bad break. What a bad, bad break. I feel like every single time these guys go out, no matter who it is, where they are, I'm holding my breath. Like Gerald McCoy going down. God, I hate that. For the year. Let's go to the phones. You see, this is why you don't want to hang up. I finally found a call that I want to take, and homeboy hung up. You never know. Don't do that. Here's the irony. The guys that are good enough to get on the air think they're going to have to wait, so they don't. And then the people who have no shot at getting on the air will wait for months. And when I say months, I mean months. That's not hyperbole. That is no exaggeration. So if you feel like you've got any game whatsoever, don't hang up. I'll get you in. Meantime, let's see here. Jamie in Green Bay. He tweets, Ritt didn't want to rock cargo shorts with those Fila grass cutters today. I don't know. I don't dress the guy. Romy, we miss seeing Ritt on TV. Sincerely, nobody. Ritt misses being on TV. This is why I tried to fire him up with a motivational speech at the, quote, hot chocolate machine. Nobody! I just wanted you to see and know that that's not something I make up. My man does smash that hot chocolate machine every single morning at the exact same time to get ready to roll. We all have our rituals. We do. I roll in here every morning and I kind of laugh. I chuckle at myself because I do the exact same thing every single morning when I come in. Like, don't you, when you get to work? Do you not do the exact same thing? He does too. And we all do the exact same thing right before the show. I know, like, as an example, the guys back in New York, when we first started to simulcast this show, I would roll in the TV studio maybe 1 or 2 minutes before. And I could be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong, quote, guys in New York. But they were like, the hell, where is he? What's he doing? Are we ready? Are we cool? Are we good? And the reason I do that is I work until the very last second before we come on the air. I'm not like jerking around. Or grab-assing in the green room with Ritt around the hot chocolate machine. I'm getting my man cake on, and I'm getting my stuff together, and I roll in here at the last second. Like, we all have our rituals. I just don't want you to think that I'm being disingenuous or not honest about Ritt. He really does drink hot chocolate. A lot of it. So that's why I brought you that story. Go to my Instagram feed. Check it out. See the man in all his glory. At Nir Todd tweets, TV or not, we think that Ritt is always on his A game. Best regards, Almond Joy, Animal Crackers, Apple Jacks. All right, so I just want to respond to that real quick. And Ritt, I'm sure you've got a million thoughts on it, but no microphone, so you got nothing to say. No, I'm not a fan of Almond Joy. If I'm going to pick, I'm going to go Mounds. I don't need the nut in the middle of that. Animal Crackers are ass. Coconut is not ass, Ritt. Ritt, don't start. Ritt's response was, coconut is ass. Dude, do me a favor. Get out a legal pad. Take notes. Save it for the October 14th. You can run it all out there. Empty your notepad. Coconut is not ass. That take in and of itself is almost a reason to go. I love coconut. Don't at me. Is our guest on hold already? Is that what that is? I better get out then. I was about to go off on a tangent, too. Dell is having a semi-annual sale, and it is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. And enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more. All with easy financing options right through Dell Financial Services. You can succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today and find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
You know how important recovery is in all things, right? So I hope you use that last segment, that last break, to rest and recover. I try to rest and recover from some of your horrible takes, but I'm going to need a lot more than 3 or 4 minutes to bounce back from that. Luckily, I have a really good interview right here from a really good player, a linebacker with the Arizona Cardinals. He's coming off a huge game. He had 9 tackles. He had 2 passes broken up. He had an INT. All of that in Sunday's win. Last season, 54 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 passes broken up, an interception, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. He was a member of the All-Rookie team last year. He is a national champion, an All-American, a Butkus Award winner at Clemson. He was the 8th pick overall in 2020. Arizona coming off a big win. They're at home Sunday against Minnesota. Isaiah Simmons is my guest. Isaiah, good to have you back on. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good, man. So there are a number of moments that I wanted to ask you about coming off that game on Sunday, but let me start with that interception in the 3rd quarter off the deflection. Can you take me through the play? What did you see? And then how good did it feel to come down with that pick?
Yeah, just reading off the quarterback's eyes, and Robert made a great play on the ball, and just playing with high effort, running to the ball, saw the ball was up in the air, and I mean, in my mind, nobody else was going to come down with it. I was afraid, but worried maybe Julio or somebody would be around to come up and go contest that. But, in my mind, nobody else was coming down with it. Hate I had to run over Buddha like that, but, things happen.
The friendly fire, right? Things happen.
Yeah, a little friendly fire.
There you go. Isaiah Simmons joining us. I talked to Buddha recently. He's great. So when you're facing the Titans, it means that you're going to have to deal with Derrick Henry. You stopped him a number of times, including right at the goal line. It seems to me a lot of guys would want no part of that dude in that situation. I get it. He's a load now, but you won that battle. How much pride was there for you in that stop and the statement that it made?
Yeah, I mean, making any stop in the red zone is always a big deal. So, happening to be a big, strong back like him, I'd say it's pretty impressive. But something definitely want to take pride in, not so much for the player, but just for the situation, what was happening in the game.
Yeah, I think you should take pride in that. Isaiah Simmons joining us. You're getting rave reviews for the way you played on Sunday. I know you'll tell me it's only one game, but if you were to compare how you feel right now to the time or how you felt last year at this time, does it feel like things are slowing down? Like, how different is it for you now as compared to then?
Yeah, it's just a big difference just with everything I was able to do in the preseason, with the preseason studies, just being able to get in and actually walk through the plays with the guys in the preseason. If it was actually came in early before OTAs just to make up on some lost reps that I had last year. So just being able to do that and visualize things before things even happen really allowed me to just play more free and play a lot faster.
Isaiah Simmons joining us. Lots of guys on that side of the ball making lots of plays, and especially Chandler Jones. I mean, it wasn't just you dominating that game defensively. You saw what he did. 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. I mean, you're worried about your assignment. You're worried about the guy in front of you. But as you watched him having that kind of performance, what kind of thoughts were you having?
I was just amazed. Me and Chandler, we're really good friends, and it's funny because he told me, you didn't even see me play yet. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm excited. We're going to see. And then after the game, I was like, how'd you get 5 sacks like that? And he was like, and all he could tell me was, I told you never seen me play. And, that's just something funny. But, honestly,
by the way, that's really funny. I think that's really funny. Like, hey, man, you haven't even seen me play yet. I love that. And then he goes out and he does that.
Right, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, there you go. I mean, 5 sacks, it was crazy seeing Hassan do it last year, but just the way Chandler did it was, I don't know, it was just different. It was crazy. When he got his 5th one, I could just look at him, and I was just like, wow. Like, That's just something you never see. That'll be a performance that'll be talked about for many years to come. And, you know, just glad to have him as a teammate. He makes things a lot easier for me on the back end.
Isaiah, can you put that in perspective? I mean, you know how hard anybody, I don't care how gifted you are, how hard anybody has to work to get to the quarterback. And even if you don't get to the quarterback and get quality or get credit for a sack, you can still have an enormous game and be doing your job. But it's really hard to get to the quarterback. Can you put in perspective what it means to get to the quarterback five times in one game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's multiple, like, tons and tons of people that don't get five sacks in a season, let alone one game. So to see someone go out there and, I mean, kind of effortlessly do it, you know, it's just a true testament of what kind of player Chandler is and all the preparation that he has, that he's put in, and just it's all just paying off. But five sacks in a game is something that's really unheard of. I don't know if many other people have ever done that, but the 3-1 quarter, when he had 3-1 quarter, I was like, first, that alone is crazy. So five, that's something that's unheard of.
And I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that. I was going to say to you, too, and you made that point for me, that not only did this guy do it, it didn't look that hard. I mean, it looked like he was working hard, but he makes it look relatively easy, given who it is. Let me ask you about this. Isaiah Simmons, my guest. You guys, like, you know, once there are certain labels that are ever put on a guy or a team, it's hard to shake. And when you think about Arizona, you think about that air raid offense, you think about all that skill, you don't necessarily think, though, about the Cardinals being that punch you in the face, line it up, smash you kind of team. I thought the team played with a lot of physicality. Was there a statement that you were looking to make that, hey, listen, we can beat you that way. We have that skill. We have finesse when we need it. But make no mistake, we will line it up and punch you in the face if we have to or want to.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we want to be a physical team at all times. So physicality is something that we're going to try to bring into the game each and every week. You know, because that's something that is a choice by each player, being physical, playing with high energy. So each and every week in, week out, just being physical and playing, reading your keys and doing your assignment correctly, you know, that's always the goal.
You know, when you talk about reading keys and doing your assignment correctly, you could have a lot of keys and a lot of assignments because, as many people know, you're famous for playing 9 different positions in college. When you were drafted last season, you and I had a conversation, and we talked about where you might end up playing, and then the team was really willing to use you in a number of different spots. How are you approaching that at this point in your life? Like, would you rather be in one spot all the time, or do you still like moving around and impacting the game from different positions?
I really enjoy moving around just because, you know, I enjoy getting interceptions just as much as I enjoy getting sacks. So me being able to move around and create indecision for the offense is something that allows me to do both of those when winning my matchup. So I like moving around and being able to bounce around places, and it's also something that helps the team. So it's a plus in many ways.
I get it. Isaiah Simmons joining me for a few more moments. What about your offense? Kyler Murray. Again, it sounds like I'm kind of fawning on you guys. I'm a fan of what I see right now, especially what I see right now. I love Kyler Murray. I love everything about this guy. He completed nearly 66% of his passes, had more than 300 yards from scrimmage. He had 5 touchdowns. You've been around him for a little more than a year. How would you describe him or sum him up as a quarterback, and what makes him so unique?
I think what makes him unique is really just his ability to move around in the pocket and create plays with his legs. I'm sure everyone saw it was a really big conversion to Rondell Moore, where it seems Kyler probably ran about 40 yards in the backfield before he ended up pulling the ball up to throw it to Rondell. And I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but he actually tucked the ball and started running and then, you know, untucked the ball and threw that pass. So just doing things like that, throwing these touchdowns with no feet on the ground, this is just not stuff you see every day. And, you know, Kyler's a really special player, could be as good as he ever wants to be. And just some of the things that he does that he makes look routine are things that a normal quarterback, you know, probably couldn't do. But, you know, ever since, you know, I've got here, he's been able to make plays like that. And, you know, I see him doing nothing but growing and becoming a better and better and better player as time is going. So I'm really excited to see, you know, the future of both of us here.
I love the way you broke down that play, and that's exactly what I saw. This guy, to me, I think he's an outlier. I just think that, I mean, sure, he has to improve and get better, and he is. I just think that he can do things that nobody else can do. I think he is such a unique talent and such a special player, and I love the way he carries himself. He's just got, he's got that great swag. He's got that great confidence. And he's got a short memory, man. He could do crazy, crazy things. Before I let you go, the team selected Zaven Collins with the 16th pick in the draft. And the story goes that on the first day of training camp, you told him that the two of you could be as good, if not better, than Levante David and Devin White. What did you see in him that made you feel that way?
Just the way he can move at that size, the way he has, the way his football instincts are. He's just a good football player, you know. So just, we got ways to go, but I'm telling you, putting in the work, Zaven, he honestly could be any kind of player he wants to be. And, you know, not just saying that because he's my friend, but, you know, truly looking at him and how he plays, I mean, he's 260. I've never seen a guy 260 moving like that. So that's just something that's really special. He just brings some traits to the table that, you know, I may necessarily not bring, and I bring some things that he might necessarily bring. So I just feel like we're just a good tangent.
You know, it's even more intriguing, my last thought for you, even more intriguing than what you said about how the two of you might be ultimately, if it all comes together, as good as any other tandem, is that part that you just said. I'm not saying it just because he's my friend, because he said that the two of you hang out a lot as well. But you said the first time you saw his interviews after he was drafted, quote, I thought he was going to be a weirdo, but it turns out we're actually really good friends, end of quote. First of all, weirdo is a very underrated word. It's a great word. What did you think of those interviews that made you think that he might be a weirdo? And then how did you guys get so tight?
I mean, I'm sure you've seen his interviews. They were just strange, you know, a little different than most.
It's great,
you know, post draft interviews. But I forgot. It's something he said that was really funny. I can't exactly remember, but something about, I don't know. It was really funny, but I don't know. He was just saying some things I wasn't used to, and then he's, you know, he's super country, so everything he says is just even more funny. So I just never really pictured myself hanging out with him, but it turns out we're actually, like, really, really good friends.
That's really funny, man. That actually is really funny. Like, man, look, hey, this dude's my teammate, and I can see the upside, and we're going to make this thing work, but, man, I ain't going to roll with that dude. Man, that dude's just too out there. That dude's weird. Like, hey, wait a minute, man. That's my dude. That's my boy. We hang out all the time.
Yeah, funny.
Just wait. You know how it is, dude, man. You just wait. Wait till you start saying the things that he's saying. And wait till, well, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe not that. Isaiah, great to have you back on the show. You guys look great. You got another big opportunity coming up on Sunday. It's always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the program so we can get caught up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you very much. Isaiah Simmons. And again, that was such a thing that people were always talking about. Like, man, this dude, he played 9 positions in college. Where are they going to play him? Wherever they want, you know? And they were smart about it, and they worked him in, and he makes plays, lots of plays, all over the field. And yes, this is a big, I don't play favorites, but this is a big Arizona Cardinal house because I think they got a big brass set. Steve Keim, the decision he made to bring in Cliff as his head coach, to draft Kyler Murray, to hit reset, to start over. I mean, these are big brass swings. And if they work, you're a genius. And if they don't work, you're looking for a new line of work. Not a new line of work, but a new opportunity. I just love it. And they're fun as hell. How good is that division? You're going to tell me that's the 4th best team in that division? First of all, I'm not sure I buy that. I'm not sure they are. But we're talking about the NFC West, which is undefeated after week 1. And to me, they're as intriguing, as interesting, and as fun as anybody in that division. I love the Cards. All right. So what we'll do is, like I said, use the brakes, rest and recover, bounce back. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Another good conversation right there. Top of the hour, Brandon McManus will be joining us. I want to reset my conversation with Chad Pennington, which I really enjoyed. I want to talk about Chandler Jones additionally. This guy was absolutely incredible this past weekend. All of that still ahead, but here is your bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. You can save up to 45% on Dell computers. With Windows 10 Pro, enjoy specials on Dell Docks, monitors, servers. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL to speak with a Dell Technologies advisor. 877-ASK-DELL. Can't get enough football this time of year. That's why we had Wisconsin head coach Paul Christ on. That's why I just had Isaiah Simmons on. That's why I'm going to have Brandon McManus on next segment. That's why I've got a podcast up right now with former NFLer Chad Pennington. Cannot get enough football. So, let me talk about episode 189 of the Jim Rome podcast. Yeah, I know. I know everybody's got a podcast. True. But not everybody has a good podcast. And I've been doing this thing for a long time. I am 189 of these things in. I'm proud of that number. You know, sometimes when I interview people on the program, I'll throw out a number and say, hey, are you proud of that number? Do you take pride in the fact that that number is that number? I take pride in the fact that that number is that number. 189 long-form conversations and almost no double-ups. Very few. So it landed everywhere you get your podcasts after the show yesterday. Another banger this week. Because this week I got a chance to spend some time with and pick the brain of a former NFL QB in Chad Pennington, who had a really interesting career. And he's a really interesting guy with tremendous insight. And he showed up in a big way. Always been a pro's pro. And as soon as you turn this chat on, you'll see why. Still loves the game. Lives the game, and still very much involved in the game on a number of levels, including the high school level, where he currently coaches in one of my favorite towns in America, Las Vegas, Lexington, Kentucky. That's where he ended up, of all places. And he coaches high school football, coaches his kids there, and of course, he still has lots of takes on the pro game, and he's still plugged in on the pro level. So, because of that, a lot of things came up. I got his thoughts on the current quarterback landscape in the NFL, how different it is now as compared to when he broke in, and how teams quickly go to young players now. Of course, one of the teams he played for is one of the teams I asked him about, the Jets. They debuted a brand new starter, of course. So I asked Chad Pennington what he thought about the number two overall pick, Zach Wilson, as he begins his rookie season, and they start him right out of the gate.
My advice would be, number one, just to be patient. Understand that you've got a lot of upside, a lot of ability. That's why they brought you into the organization. But it's going to take time. It takes time to truly learn how to be a professional quarterback, both on and off the field. And when you watch Zach play on Sunday, you can see there's times where you see greatness and there's times where you see him being a rookie. Right, and it's just part of the maturation process. And unfortunately for some of our rookie quarterbacks this year, when they're having to start in week one, they're having to make those mistakes in front of a live national audience, which makes it a little bit more challenging. But you can certainly see the talent is there, the skill set is there, and now it's just a matter of putting all that together into what we call a professional quarterback.
All right, so this is why I love a conversation like that. You've got a guy who was a high draft pick back in the day, who played quarterback for that team in that town. If anybody could speak to what Zach Wilson is dealing with, and even on some level, Chad can't. I mean, Zach was the second player taken overall. But if anybody could speak to what it's like to play that position in that town with that kind of heat and that kind of pressure, it's Chad Pennington. Fact of the matter is, they have not had a real good run with quarterbacks since Chad, right? In fact, it's been pretty miserable, with the exception of a couple of strong years from jungle legend Mark Sanchez. What have they really had to show for it? Even that did not end well. So I asked him about that very thing. It's tough enough to play that position. It's one of the toughest things in all of sports, but how much more difficult is it? And how much more challenging is it to play that position in that town with those expectations and that media and the failure rate of recent Jet QBs?
It's definitely different, Jim. The intensity is different, right? I mean, when I went to Miami, I had about half of the reporters in my locker room after practice compared to New York. And so the intensity level and the scrutiny of your play is definitely different. Everyone's trying to get an angle on the same story and report something a little bit different with the same information at hand. And so it can certainly provide a challenge for you as a young professional, making sure that you know how to handle that correctly, that you don't put too much into it, but you're obviously honest and real with the guys you're working with and with the reporters you're working with. I learned a great deal from Vinny Testaverde and learning how to not get too high, not get too low, really stay even keeled and handle it correctly.
This is why sometimes, like this coming Sunday, for instance, when I go back to New York and I appear on the NFL on CBS, and I've mentioned this a number of times, the guys on that show, everybody who works behind the scenes, but the talent on that show, especially, they are such amazing people. They're great guys. They're all great guys. Everybody on that show is an amazing guy. But when you listen to Chad Pennington talk about how the fact is, it is different. It's different to play quarterback in New York. It just is. And when I sit in a production meeting and I look across the table and I see Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims, and I see a couple of guys that not only played quarterback in New York, but at the highest level, you know, like an NFL MVP in Boomer, a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Phil Sims, I'm kind of blown away by it all the time. Like, these two dudes played that position at that level in that town for a long time. And then when I hear Chad talk about it like that, it only echoes and kind of confirms that thought that I have when I look at the two of them. Not to mention that Boomer and Phil Sims are both all-time ball breakers and hilarious guys. Great guys to be around. Great guys to work with. So in terms of football, though, like, one of the big challenges that everybody's got to face, no matter what, is the brutal reality of the business side of the game. A major adjustment for every young player to make. But even for Chad Pennington, you know, he admitted that at the end of his career, it was a real challenge. So when I said to him, like, when you talk to young players and you advise them, what do you tell them, and what was the most challenging aspect of that to you?
That's probably the biggest challenge, especially for our young players, because you've played a game your whole life where it was one for all for one, right? And now you throw the business side into the game of football, and sometimes it just doesn't go together. And so what you've got to do is be able to separate your football life in between the white lines from your business life and personal life outside of that building, and realize that sometimes your goals as a player do not align with the organization goals. And so sometimes you got to put yourself in the seat of the owner or the shoes of the general manager going, okay, listen, they're looking at their team and what they need to do to continue to move forward. And I may or may not be in that plan. And that's okay, because if I've handled my business correctly and I'm a professional and I bring a lot to the table, I promise you those other 31 teams, somebody will need me if I'm doing it correctly. And so that's what you have to kind of train yourself and take that emotional piece out of it, which is really hard because football is an emotional game. You've been taught to be emotional about it and be passionate about it. And then the business side comes into it, which really changes the whole dynamic.
What a great answer that was. And finally, I had to ask him about his college days at Marshall, and specifically about being teammates with the freakiest of freaks, and I mean that in the best way possible, the most uncommon among uncommon, Randy Moss. He says, man, we all knew it. The very second this guy walked on campus and stepped onto the field, we all knew Randy Moss was different.
It was unbelievable. I remember some of our veteran players sneaking into the freshman practices early in fall camp just to get a glimpse of Randy, and he never disappointed. You know, he was so competitive. He worked really hard, and he wanted to be great. And then what was really amazing, Jim, is that the same plays that he made in high school that were unbelievable, he made those plays in college, and then he made those same plays in the pros. And typically you don't see that type of athleticism continue to go. Typically, as you move up in levels, then it starts to level out. But with Randy, he was always making those plays regardless of what level he played on. And I think that's what made him really great. And when you look at his skill set and when you look at a receiver and you're You're trying to look for soft hands, great awareness, great knowledge of the game, speed, size. He checks off all the boxes, and then he was able to make plays with that talent as well. One of the most fun drills in practice was one-on-one. He loved just to mix it up with the DBs and just get after it, and he was always competitive. It didn't matter if we were going one-on-one, playing basketball in Gullickson Hall, or playing dominoes. He wanted to win.
It's kind of like when Rick got here. Like, everybody just wanted to see this guy. Like, his first step inside the building, people who had been here 10 years were like, "Wow, is that Rit? I got to watch for Rit." It's lit! Chad was so good. Chad Pennington, what a great, great interview that was. Great conversation. And this guy had a really nice career. He won the NFL Comeback Player of the Year twice. He led the NFL in completion percentage twice. He was the top-rated passer in the league in 2002. So a ton of knowledge, a ton of insight, and a lot of work that he's doing with the next generation of young players. I would recommend you track that down. Episode 189 with Chad Pennington is live right now on Spotify, top of my Twitter feed where I pinned it, anywhere else you can get your podcasts. A really good conversation. And listen, I would recommend it. Brandon McManus of the Broncos joins me when we come back. We're another phone number. This is my voicemail. We take voicemails and put them on the podcast, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. Stay tuned.